Good afternoon, folks, and welcome. It's time to break free. I will be your host for the hour, David Matthew Rock, coming to you live from the constitutional carry state of Arizona. Be the Patriot broadcast from the trenches, 89.5 FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com, the Grow Your Own channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina. Jalapeno's channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and many more micro broadcasts and webcasts heard around the world. Take the time to check out the number one source for Patriot news on the web at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. If you'd like to contact me via email, I can be reached at DavidMatthewRock@gmail.com. This is a live call-in program. Coming up and share your thoughts and experiences. Unlike the mainstream media, listener participation is appreciated. The call-in number is 641-715-3610. Once connected, you'll be asked for the conference room number, which is 220029 and the pound sign. Hit star 6 to unmute. All right, it is 1:02 p.m. Arizona Mountain Time. It is 98 degrees in Casa Grande, Arizona, sunny with 29% humidity. My eyes, ears, and gut are telling me most of what we are seeing with the alt-right, white nationalist movements, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, and others are well-planned and well-funded divide-and-conquer operations. Think of America today as Ukraine was in 2014, and America as having its own version of the Ukrainian Revolution, which Ukrainians called the Maidan. With NATO-allied fascist Western Ukraine fighting the Russian-speaking communist-backed Eastern Ukraine, the Ukrainian conflict is a recent and relevant example of what the string pullers likely desire to see in America. Today, we're going to focus in on Jason Kessler, who organized the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville last weekend. We will get into it as soon as we return from these messages from our sponsors.
Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Dr. Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Creme de Liumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
Okay, so the first time I heard about this Jason Kessler character was on RBN Broadcasting last evening. I don't normally listen to them, but for some reason I decided to tune in. And I started looking him up on YouTube, and then I started searching his webpage. And, again, he is the organizer of Unite the Right, which is responsible for the protests that we saw in Charlottesville. So we're going to start with Jason Kessler's interview on 930 WHLM's Morning Buzz on August 10th. The interview feels like an awkward promotion, in my opinion. So I looked up a little bit about 930 WHLM News Radio. They're in Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania. They date back to 1947, but they were bought out in September 2001 by Columbia Broadcasting Company, which I thought was kind of interesting. So let's just go ahead and start with that clip. So I would call this a promotion of the protest and the rally that we saw this weekend.
So joining us this morning via the telephone, we have one Jason Kessler is with us. Thank you, Jeff. Jason, freelance journalist. He's one of these new journalist types. He's written for many publications. JasonKessler.net is his website. Founded America First, a nonprofit Unity for and Security for America. I'm sure he supports the idea of Build the Wall. And he is currently the lead organizer for the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville, Virginia. Welcome to the program this morning, Jason.
Hey, good morning. Good to be with you.
You awake?
Yeah.
Okay.
Barely, but I am.
Yeah, I can tell. Yeah. See, here at the home of the hits, what kind of coffee do you drink in the morning?
Right now, I don't know. I got some kind of organic rainforest.
Okay.
Oh.
All right.
That's good, because it's always nice to take a trip to the organic rainforest.
Jason, you need to drink chock full of nuts. That's the coffee to drink. That is our official coffee here on the WHLM Morning Buzz.
It is the heavenly coffee.
Now, where are you located?
Charlottesville, Virginia.
Oh, so you are in Charlottesville. You're a resident of Charlottesville?
Yes.
Okay.
You haven't been to Charlottesville, Bobby Joe?
You know,
very nice.
It's one of those. Yeah, I think I was there once.
Yeah.
I think I drove through it one time. I remember the architecture being very colonial. Is it?
Yeah. It's not Williamsburg.
No,
but nice.
But kind of, you know, has
college
that,
town.
Yeah. Yeah. A very cool town, actually.
Yeah.
I have some friends that own radio stations down there.
Okay.
In Charlottesville. Well, welcome to the program. Now, what's going on this weekend in Charlottesville?
Well, this weekend we're going to have the Unite the Right rally. That's going to be Saturday at 12 p.m. in Lee Park, and it is going to be a huge event. We've been contacted by CNN, by all the major media affiliates, people from Japan, people from Australia. And essentially what's going on is we're doing a rally to support the Robert E. Lee Monument that these city councilors are trying to take down. It's been part of this push to take down all of these white historical figures. They just like they took down a Christopher Columbus statue in Pepperdine University. They took down the bust of the white founders of the college and King's College in London because it would be offensive to ethnic minorities, replace them with ethnic minorities. So that's been a big thing that's been going on all over the world. Then second, we're trying to do a pro-white demonstration. So we're trying to make it okay so that folks can stand up for white people, because we feel like the political correctness has gotten way out of control. And the only way to fight back against it is to stand up for our own interests.
So you're a white supremacist.
That's what a lot of people in the media say, but no.
No? Well, explain.
Well, I am pro-white. I want to stand up for my people. I feel like right now there is essentially an ethnic cleansing being done against white people in the United States and Europe by liberal social policies. Whether they intend to do it or not, they are replacing us ethnically and culturally. That's why the statue issue is so important. It's a symbol. At the same time that these officials are tearing down statues of Confederate generals like Robert E. Lee and aiming to tear down founding fathers like George Washington, they are taking history books that were written by the traditional demographic of this country. They're demonizing us in the history books. We're all slave masters to them, and we're all racist neo-Nazis to them. So they are also replacing us demographically with these third world immigration policies. Through the majority of this nation's history, we've been 80 to 85% white.
I thought Christopher Columbus was a Latino myself.
Well, Jason, this is Dave. One of the other issues with this thing is that it's okay for groups like Black Lives Matter to organize and hold their rallies. But as soon as somebody like you organizes a rally in Charlottesville, you get the town council trying to move it or allowing other counter-protest groups to come in and not allowing people like your voices to be heard.
Yeah, I mean, there's been enormous civil rights abuses here. I mean, the reason that I decided to invite speakers like Richard Spencer and a number of others who did a torchlight march here on May 13th is because so many people were discriminated against, even just for being normal Trump supporters, after the alt-right went back home. People were losing their jobs just for being seen having dinner with me. I didn't organize the rally. I was just a journalist covering it at that time. So after I decided to have this rally, the city has done everything imaginable to put up roadblocks to this event. I filed a permit for it. It was totally legal. I got insurance for it, even though I didn't need to. In the days leading up to this, liberal activists harassed the insurance company, got them to drop the insurance. They got them to remove the contract for the Port-a-John, so we don't have Port-a-Johns now. They're telling businesses preemptively not to serve us. And then finally, the city council said that they were going to cancel the permit, and they would give us a permit, but it would be in a place called McIntyre Park, which is just a big field that has absolutely nothing to do with the Robert E. Lee statue that we're protesting. So this is a civil rights issue. It's a First Amendment violation, and it's made this event even bigger than the issues that we've talked about so far, because it's going to have ramifications on First Amendment law, potentially for the entire country.
You expect CNN to be covering this weekend, and Fox and all the major networks?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. A lot of them are contacting me.
How many people are you expecting to show up?
Well, that's part of the case. So I can't really talk about that. Well, I can't explain the issue surrounding this case is that the city is trying to say, well, you have too many people coming to Lee Park. That means that it's not safe and we can't accommodate you. But they've granted permits for two other parks, Jackson Park and McGuffey Park, which are in the same downtown area. They are each only one block away, within 1 to 2 minutes walking distance. They've granted these to this UVA professor, and he has all these Antifa and Black Lives Matter groups who are going to be congregating there. They have openly claimed that they are going to have thousands of people. They are going to have, like, Cornel West, this militant Black professor who goes on Real Time with Bill Maher and a number of other national programs. And then, finally, as we've been going into the research and so forth, we've seen that they've had multiculturalism festivals in the same park where they bragged about having 3,500 to 4,000 people.
Okay, so you're going to be in Lee Park, and that's going to be on Saturday. What time to what time there, Jason?
Well, but we are going to be there no matter what. The event is going to be from 12 p.m. to 5 p.m. It might not actually go that late, but if we get started later, it could go to 5.
All right, JasonKessler.net. Thank you for joining us this morning here at News Radio WHL, and we do appreciate it. It's 27 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Okay, so in addition to 930 WHLM, I found Kessler interviewed by Paul Joseph Watson on the Alex Jones Show, 1070 AM and 98.9 FM WINA, among others. Now, there is a timeline of his events, posts, and achievements on his homepage at jasonkessler.net. That's K-E-S-S-L-E-R. Okay, so I'll mention that this young gentleman's only been on the scene since 2015, so it's not like he's been out there for a decade or anything like that. Now, this next video is Jason's first video on YouTube titled Writer Jason Kessler Poetry Reading, November 20th, 2014. It was uploaded on December 19th, 2015. All three of the poems in this video are dark, but I found the last one really interesting, so I cropped it out. So this young gentleman has written a couple of books. One of them was a poetry book. But wait till you get a load of this.
My name is Jason Kessler. I'm kind of a cynical type. Okay, this one doesn't really have any meaning. It came to me when I was in bed and I wrote it down, and it's one of those things that seemed to kind of gel in a twisted way. So this is called White Devils. Let us hide in the jungles of Africa, grow indigent, become possessed with ghosts from the fields. Train our buzzards to unleash upon the carcasses of the third world. Let our hair grow preposterously long and neglect to cut the fingernails for a quarter century till they grow brittle, blackened, spiraled, scaring the silly little things that believe in princes or monsters. White devil, white devils they'll name us. Sucking lithium and orange juice through bent straws, yanking out the worms to eat, throwing the apples away. Attracting wild boars, carrion crows, taking voluptuous ebony queens as our blushing brides. With revolution comes civil war, beatings, hangings, stagnant lands reverting to barbarism in absence of order, scapegoated witches, disease, disorder, death. Rousted from our hermetic pose, three past the midnight hour, hung by our ankles, pyres to burn the bodies in effigy of eternal other. Shh, try not to scream as the flames lick your flesh. Ah, who am I kidding? Scream away, white devils, madmen all.
Holy moly. And that was a dream?
It was just something that came to me, I don't know.
Wow.
It was just something that came to me, I don't know. Anyway, that was his first upload on YouTube, okay? So Kessler's next YouTube post, titled Patreon Video, was uploaded January 23rd, 2017, over 1 year after the last one we just heard. Jason is asking for funds. There was only 66 views as of this morning, August 14th, 2017. I repeated one section of the upload to highlight the audio, and I fast-forwarded through Kessler asking for donations, but you can go look at the YouTube video yourself. Anyway, let's get it going.
Hi, my name is Jason Kessler. This is a video for Patreon.com where I am asking for your financial support to help continue my investigative journalism and political activism. As you may know, I was the one who unearthed the anti-white tweets of Wes Bellamy, the pro-rape tweets of Vice Mayor Wes Bellamy of Charlottesville, who is pushing to tear down a Confederate statue of Robert E. Lee. He said that Thomas Jefferson in Monticello was next, and he also had attacked UVA lecturer Doug Muir, who wrote on Facebook that Black Lives Matter is a racist group. So he boycotted Doug Muir. I looked up his tweets. Found all of these horrible anti-white things that he had to say, that he hates seeing white people in town and so forth. I got him kicked off of the Virginia Board of Education, where he was one of only nine people deciding what was going on in kids' textbooks, and basically showed the agenda he had in trying to tear down this statue.
I've continued to do investigative journalism covering the school shooter Esteban Santiago and showing his connection to radical Islam. I have combated mainstream media lies. They've treated me terribly since I've been in town. They've treated me terribly since I've been in town. They've treated me terribly since I've been in town. They call me all kinds of names and say awful things about me. And I take that on behalf of you, the people. But I cannot continue to do the work that I do without some financial support. And there's a lot of great things that you're going to see in the future. You've already probably seen my interview with Paul Joseph Watson of InfoWars, where I'm discussing these issues and I'm bringing to the fore issues that don't normally get discussed, like anti-white racism and protecting historical monuments. You would also have seen my podcast with Matt Forney. And in the future, I'm going to be working to create even bigger changes. What we're working on is a political action committee, because there's a lot of people talking, but very few people acting. You have these Soros-led groups, finance groups like Virginia Organizing here in Charlottesville, and they bus in leftists from out of town and they create a ruckus and so forth, and there's no conservative version of that. The state of Virginia and this country really needs someone like me who is able to organize and raise money for our effort. So what I'm looking at is creating the Unity and Security Pack, and this is going to be a long-term effort. And what we're going to do is we're going to try and give priority immigration to people from Western countries, first of all. We definitely want to cut down on things like radical Islamic terror. So we're going to be able to do that. We're going to be able to push back against this SJW cultural Marxist influence in Hollywood, in the news media, in academia. We're going to be able to do all these things, and we're going to try and push to get Virginia turned red in 2020 for Donald Trump. I have a lot of connections. I'm working on setting up a talk with Milo Yiannopoulos at UVA. I'm followed on Twitter by Mike Cernovich, by Paul Joseph Waston. I have the ear of a lot of people, and I can help to set the agenda that we need to set moving forward, and your voice can be a big part of that. At pledging $20 or more, you can send in anything you want, and I'll sign it. Any other suggestions you guys have for things that you'd like as perks, just let me know. At $100, I can send you a bag of merch and other gifts, and we'll put that together for you. So anyway, support Jason Kessler to see journalism, which is on jasonkessler.net. I'll put up links to all of my interviews. You can see what I'm about, and we're really going to change the world here, people. Talk to you later.
Okay, I want to stress again, as of me viewing this video this morning, there was only 66 views, and I imagine there might have only been 40 or 50 or 30 yesterday. So if this guy's some sort of organizer and fundraiser, shouldn't he have a little more popularity and notoriety on YouTube? I would think so. Okay, I think we got time. The final video lined up from Jason Kessler was uploaded to YouTube yesterday, titled "Government Officials Set a Trap for Unite the Right." Let's give it a listen.
Hey, this is Jason Kessler. I'm the organizer of Unite the Right. I'm the one person you are not hearing from on CNN. I'm the one person you're not hearing from on Fox News and on MSNBC that you need to hear from, because I was on the ground as it happened. They are not telling the true story. Charlottesville has blood on its hands. Okay, Vice Mayor Wes Bellamy, Mayor Mike Signer, Police Chief Al Thomas have blood on their hands, because we have been organizing this event for 2 months, and we had a security plan in place to protect people. Both tonight and yesterday night at the torchlit rally, the police stood down and refused to separate the counter demonstrators, and now people are dead. And it just shows you how disorganized they were. Like a helicopter crash. They were not prepared. These people, their number one priority was shutting down the alt-right, not allowing us to speak our minds. They had no idea that we were going to be able to file a federal lawsuit in time. They had no idea that we were going to win that federal lawsuit, which we did. There were no plans in place to keep the people separate. And I'm watching these media reports. And first of all, like, whoever did the thing with the car, that was really, really stupid. And I completely disavow it, obviously. But I can only say that political violence is just going to increase if we cannot enforce the Constitution of the United States. The reason that we have the Constitution of the United States and we have the First Amendment is so that we don't have to resort to political violence. The reason that we have the First Amendment is so that people can engage in the public square and talk about ideas, whether they're unpopular or not. In the case of the alt-right, these are ideas that are represented by millions and millions of people, not only in the United States, but in Europe and around the world. So a lot of these people came to Charlottesville in an act of bravery, in defiance of a media which constantly smears them, calls them white supremacists, characterize everybody, no matter of the nuance in their position, as white nationalists. For instance, they say white nationalist rally. Well, I am not a white nationalist. I have a very specific position. I believe in a certain demographic, which was historic prior to the 1965 Hartzeller Immigration Act. But that doesn't matter to these people. They're creating a hysteria in the media. That's what got people killed, is that they shouldn't have been saying neo-Nazi, 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 white nationalist over and over and over again about everybody that they disagreed with. And the government and the media and the Charlottesville police were willing to let it get to the point that people got killed and hurt before they would allow us simply to have First Amendment expression. Yeah, it was a setup. It was a setup. Look, I'm dying to get my story out there, and I hope some folks from Fox News or CNN or whomever will interview me, but they are trying to screw us over. They're, like, even Fox News has been having, like, Black Lives Matter, people talking about how this is about white supremacy and historical racism, whatever. No, 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 no. This was about preserving that Robert E. Lee monument, number one. Number two, about making it okay for white people to advocate for themselves, because every other group is able to do that. And number three, for us to be able to have free speech. Okay? That's why the ACLU went to bat for us. Not because they agree with everything we said, or we didn't get to say it. The police and the government had no intention of allowing us to do the protest. I'm telling you guys, when we showed up, the Charlottesville police were not there. We talked in good faith with these people for months, and the things they said they were going to do, they did not do. Okay, from what I'm understanding, it all started, and I wish that people had rang the alarm bells to me earlier. Some people say there might have been sporadic acts of violence before 11:30 when the police told us to, they finally showed up and told us to exit the area. Well, from 8:30 a.m., we had a plan to shuttle our people into the Unite the Right rally. We were going to use vans to move our speakers into the area, and we were supposed to have police escort. From that point early on, way hours before the rally was supposed to start, The police did not escort us into the event. And when we showed up, everybody was being pepper sprayed and maced on the way to the event. So when you see these acts of violence, people were panicked. You know, even the case where the person ran over some people. I mean, I don't know what the motivations were, but you had a full-on chaotic riot because the police, they didn't just stand down. They led us into a trap. They led us into a trap. So anybody who is counter-signaling the alt-right or trying to take the moral high ground, that's a joke. And if you're a mainstream Republican who's not willing to stand up for the Constitution, once you take a few days to cool down and see that the emotions are gone, case.
We're going to run a little bit past the bottom of the hour, but that's okay. We'll make up for it.
I really hope that we'll be able to file lawsuits. The city of Charlottesville needs to pay very, very dearly for this. People came from around the country. They spent thousands of dollars to exercise their right to free speech. They risked their personal safety. They risked their lives. And in some cases, people lost their freedom. And this is due to the actions of the Charlottesville city government. Just look at the federal court judge's ruling prior to the event. They discriminated against us based on our viewpoint. That's why they tried to deny the permit. And in spite of the federal court judge's ruling, they still did not enforce the permit. They stood down. So we need to have a conversation here. Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, your ass. I don't care if you're scared. I don't care if you're afraid of being called racist. Look, I risked my life. I put everything on the line. And there were a lot of other people who did that, who put everything on the line, who risked their jobs, their families, to come out and stand up for something that they believed in. And you have to at least stand up for constitutional principles. If you want to hear both sides of the story, I'm available. I'm ready to come on. I've been there since the beginning. Hear both sides of the story.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Creme de Liumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
Time to Break Free is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this program on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. All right, it is 1:35 p.m. Arizona Mountain Time. I decided to skip the music just to give myself a little bit more time during the program. I guess I could always play a song at the end. I'm not quite sure if the call-in line is working. I haven't heard any dings yet, so if anybody wants to call in, feel free. Okay. Hey, there we go. Look at that. So, yeah, if at any time a caller wants to come up, feel free. I just got some articles to read at this point. So, yeah, what we just heard was the most recent. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, it's Katie. Yeah. Oh, I've got a really bad fever. I can hear myself.
Oh, is there an echo?
Oh, yeah. Everything I'm – okay, that's good.
Is it stopping?
It's a lot better. I can actually hear myself. Yeah, now I don't hear it at all right now.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, yeah. Excellent broadcast. You put a lot of, I'm sure, time and effort into what you've pulled up here. It's great. And I just wanted to say I went to YouTube to you know, kind of see some about Kessler, and I noticed there was an Alex Jones yesterday, actually, the 13th. I guess Kessler was on there live. I haven't listened to it yet, but I don't think you mentioned that one.
I was unaware of it.
Yeah.
I was unaware of it at this
time.
Yeah,
it may have just got posted. I don't know. Said something like 21 hours ago or something like that, but yeah, so... But anyway, I just want to say that guy, I mean, he sounded pretty genuine in that last video that you played.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if he's a spook or whatever, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't really know either. Logically speaking, though, if he's the organizer of an event as large as we saw, if he was organizing to get funds through YouTube, and as of this morning, that video only received 66 views, then where exactly is he getting his funding from? Where is he getting his notoriety from and his popularity?
Yeah.
You know, he only started – the report that I have on him says he started in 2015. So he must be Mr. Charming or something, you know, and I'm not seeing any evidence.
Well, yeah, or else he's, like, independently wealthy or something. I don't know. Yeah, I heard, like, in one of the first clips you played or something, or one of his bios or something, anyway, that he paid for the insurance, and I'm sure that wasn't cheap, you know, to have that rally. So, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, good point, though. But I just wanted to bring that to your attention, too, and thanks, David, for what you're doing. You're doing a great job.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, I honestly don't know who this gentleman is, and I've only had so much time to research it. You know, I've been working on it since this morning, and there's more information than I could possibly look at in one morning. So if at any point I'm saying something that's incorrect, anybody can come up and correct me. This show is always going to be about the truth. It's not going to be about my ego. So if you have better information, go ahead and tell me. And yeah, I think in many ways the guy does sound legit, but looking at his motive and his motivation and how little time he's spent in any kind of movement, and then, like I said, taking a look at his poetry, that was really dark and disturbing stuff. Now, another thing that I want to tie in, and this is kind of my personal experience, and but I felt like the Drudge Report started putting race-baiting type articles back in 2015. Like, I actually noted it to the people around me, like, hey, Drudge is doing this. And I also noticed that YouTuber Mark Dice started stoking the race war also in 2015. And I kind of tuned out of him because of that. I unsubscribed and I stopped watching his videos. You know, I have my own personal preferences and all that, but I don't think race needs to enter into the equation when we're talking about freedom and liberty and not being oppressed and owning property and having a sound currency and all that.
Yeah. And one more thing, American National, right? I mean, it covers, you know, black, white, green, yellow, all that kind of stuff. So, and also, too, I will say, and you probably know this, but Drudge is a Jew. I found that out about two years ago, and I was like, oh, God, no wonder.
Of course, yeah. All these tactics that we're seeing here are the same tactics the Jews and the communists use. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, and they're probably older than that. I mean, they're as old as humankind. So that's why I question it. And that's why I compared it to the Ukrainian conflict, because on one side you got the Nazis, and then the other side you got the communists. You know, you got NATO, and then you got Russia. But when it really comes down to it, are NATO and Russia really enemies? You know, they all support Israel now, don't they? So, you know, who's pulling the strings? And what do you get in the end? You get a bunch of dead people. You get a bunch of stuff restored. You get a bunch of property that changes hands. So what I'm thinking I'm seeing this event as being is like the Maidan, the stuff that led up to the actual open conflict in Ukraine. And for them, there was some more historical aspects that tie into it. And I guess for us in a way as well, because the Civil War is tying into this and that's historical. So to me, it's very comparable. And that's why right out of the gates, I drew that comparison. So now this is probably a. Okay, I'll just read how I wrote this as a note. Lastly, I have a couple of articles on Jason Kessler coming from the Southern Poverty Law Center. Not the most trusted source for information, but if Jason Kessler is an operative and the groups and events we are seeing are some form of color revolution or Maidan, chances are the Southern Poverty Law Center has knowledge of it. They are playing their part, and they were seen at the rally in Charlottesville this weekend. Okay, so let me go ahead and pull this up. Okay, so I guess this is Southern Poverty Law Center's version of Jason Kessler's bio, because it's just titled Jason Kessler. Relying on familiar tropes of white genocide and demographic displacement, white nationalist blogger Jason Kessler sees notoriety as his Unite the Right march in Charlottesville, as he seeks notoriety with his Unite the Right march in Charlottesville, Virginia. About Jason Kessler. And if anybody wants to come up at any time, feel free to interrupt me. A relative newcomer to the white nationalist scene, Jason Kessler has made waves in his attempt to unseat Charlottesville's only black city councilman and for his statutes as a bridge between a Virginia gubernatorial candidate and the alt-right. Relying on familiar tropes of white genocide and demographic displacement, Kessler has sought to parlay his status as a lonely dissenter in the capital of the resistance into notoriety of the larger far-right circuit by organizing a second white nationalist rally in Charlottesville after the first torch-lit rally in May of 2017 made headlines. A journalist, activist, and author from Charlottesville, Virginia, Kessler's LinkedIn account states that he graduated of the University of Virginia in 2009. He was virtually unknown in the media prior to his crusade against Charlottesville's vice mayor and city councilman, Wes Bellamy. Although Kessler has protested both of his arrests relating to his recent crusade and decries them as attempts to use the liberal nature of the city to really mess with me, those arrests do not represent his first brushes with the law. Arrest records indicate that Kessler was convicted in 2005 of shoplifting, obstructing justice, and for a string of failures to appear and register, in addition to numerous traffic tickets, violations, and citations. Anybody can accumulate that, though, especially a young man. Kessler started his blog, Jason Kessler, American Author, toward the end of 2015 and spent the majority of the next year dispensing mindset and lifestyle advice as promoting two books authored during the period of quote-unquote worldwide travel. The first is a book of poetry titled Midnight Road and a second novel called Badland Blues about a drunken dwarf who is unlucky in love and looks for money. Rumors abound on white nationalist forums that Kessler's ideological pedigree before 2016 was less than pure and seemed to point to involvement in the Occupy movement and past support for President Obama. Well, they're not showing any evidence on that. At one recent speech in favor of Charlottesville's status as a sanctuary city, Kessler live-streamed himself as an attendee, questioned him, and apologized for an undisclosed spat during Kessler's apparent involvement with the Occupy. Kessler appeared visibly perturbed by a woman's presence and reminders of her past association. Okay. Kessler himself has placed his red pilling around December of 2013 when a PR was executive was publicly exonerated for a tasteless Twitter joke about AIDS in Africa. There's good information later on in here, I promise. Regarding the incident, Kessler stated, "So it was just a little racy joke, nothing that a big deal. She didn't have that many followers, blah, blah, blah." Regardless of Kessler's past politics, the rightward shift in his views was first put on display in November 2016 when his tirade against Wes Bellamy began. Bellamy, a teacher in a Charlottesville Abramiel High School teacher, and vice mayor first drew Kessler's ire after organizing a press conference calling for the removal of the statue of Robert E. Lee in downtown Charlottesville on March 22, 2016, after a face-to-face encounter at a second rally protesting a UVA lecturer who referred to Black Lives Matter as a racist group. Kessler set his sights on having Bellamy removed from office. That November, Kessler posted a expose revealing lewd and offensive tweets and retweets made by Bellamy prior to entering office. Beneath a photo captioned with a reference to the racist Kangs meme that white nationalists typically employ to mock the black Egyptian hypothesis. Kessler asserted that Bellamy's tweets were proof of anti-white bias. Kessler has gone on to assert that Bellamy attained his position on the Charlottesville Board of Education because Democrats are political elitists hiding behind Wes Bellamy. Bellamy is untouchable to them, no matter how ridiculously anti-white he is. Kessler's unearthing of Bellamy's sexist, homophobic, and bigoted tweets did garner some coverage on the national scene. Relishing in the spotlight, Kessler pressed the attack. In December of 2016, Kessler announced a petition demanding Bellamy step down or be removed in light of the recent anti-white, racist, and pro-rape comments. On January 22, 2017, Kessler was arrested for misdemeanor assault after he punched a man while gathering signatures for his petition against Bellamy. Kessler initially filed assault charges against the man, but dropped them after video footage revealed that Kessler had swung without physical provocation. "Man to man, yell in a man's face and expect to get punched in the face," Kessler said of the incident. He and his buddy came over, they scribbled on my petition and vandalized it. The victim didn't want to have a conversation with me. He called me a name. I felt threatened and I hit him to get away from me. Kessler pled guilty and was sentenced to 50 hours community service, later that May. Filed in February 2017, the petition was dismissed in March of that year. Unity and Security for America. As Kessler was first filing his failed petition, Unity and Security for America, a nativist white nationalist group he founded, launched its website. And a GoFundMe started by one of Kessler's Unity and Security for America cohort to fund the man hours to prepare for the protest, body armor to protect our journalists from a knife to the ribs, a professional quality microphone for interviewer, the protests, and much more. The group is described as a revolutionary right-wing grassroots movement founded by author and activist Jason Kessler, who broke the Wes Bellamy Twitter scandal. USA is a transformational movement within the cultural Marxist hell that is Charlottesville. This really reads kind of awkward, but I'm trying my best here. Cultural Marxism refers to a conspiracy that a group of Jewish leaders escaped Nazi Germany and have since sought to erode Western values through cultural influence. Now, this Kessler gentleman is a Trump supporter. And anybody who's a Trump supporter who does not realize that Trump is a pro-Zionist puppet, then I don't know what to tell you. And that's where a lot of my confusion comes from, is that how anybody could consider themselves a white nationalist or a neo-Nazi and be a Trump supporter at the same time. Wouldn't that be an oxymoron? Isn't Trump Israel's greatest president that they've ever had, or whatever the freaking quote was? Okay, Kessler and Unity and Security for America spent the early part of 2017 supporting the campaign of pro-Confederate Virginia gubernatorial candidate Corey Stewart, a member of the Prince William County Board of Supervisors, who drew headlines for referring to an opponent as a cuck-servative, whose Wikipedia page had unflattering references edited out by Stewart's campaign staff. I heard a ding. Did somebody want to come up? Give you another second. I'm going to get a sip of water. Okay. Kessler and his group appeared at Stewart campaign stops alongside known members and affiliates of the League of the South, a neo-Confederate hate group that wants to bring about a theocratic white nationalist state in the South. Never heard of them, and who knows what their political ideology again. Is because we are reading a Southern Poverty Law Center document, so assume that half of it is truth and the other half of it is bullshit. Okay, where were we? Kessler has railed against carpetbaggers in Richmond, Charlottesville, and the state as a whole, much as the League of the South rails against Yankees flipping up Dixie. Nevertheless, copperheads who agree with their pro-lost cause icon agenda, like the Minnesota-born Stewart, are apparently granted a pass. In April of 2017, Kessler retweeted a post by a Twitter account associated with the Right Stuff TRS. The post shared a racist blog. Okay, so the guy put a racist blog on there. The same month, Kessler penned his first article for VDare, a xenophobic nativist publication started by Peter Brimlow. Brimlow? Brimlow? I gotta wonder if these people are even real. Like, this guy's last name reads like lowbrow. It's B-R-I-M-E-L-O-W. Brimlow. Brimlow. Like lowbrow. Anyway, Kessler has since written four additional blogs for the publication, including the most recent blah, blah, blah. Is there such a thing as a white genocide? Kessler has also written for gotnews.com, a website established by white nationalist and internet troll Chuck Johnson. Uniting the Right. The biggest boon to Kessler's profile to date occurred on May 14, 2017, when a group of white nationalists descended upon Charlottesville for a day-long protest over the effort to remove the Lee and Jackson statues that occupy the city parks. The event culminated in a torchlit march on the statue of Robert E. Lee, which generated a great deal of coverage, noting the visual similarities between the torchlit rally and cross lightings at the Ku Klux Klan gatherings, where Civil War veterans gathered to strike back against Reconstruction. Kessler was arrested at the event for failure to obey an officer's commands during the rally. Scarcely weeks after entering his guilty plea for a misdemeanor assault. Okay, I got it. The next day, conservative news outlet The Daily Caller posted an article on the protest penned by Kessler. The Daily Caller later issued a corresponding noting that Kessler's take on the day's events was less than impartial, as he had spoken with a luncheon gathering of pro-monument supporters and praised several racist organizations and called for a second civil war. So there's a link right in what I'm reading right now, and I hadn't looked at it earlier, but I'd be curious to confirm. I mean, there's a lot of stuff on this guy's YouTube page, jasonkessler.net. If you were to start reading his videos, you can see what his ideologies are. And if they are, you know, if the guy literally is asking for another civil war, I got a question. You know, I got a question where his money's coming from. I got a question his notoriety. And if he's writing dark poetry like was seen earlier, what kind of stuff is in his books? You know, so who is this person? I really like to know, and I spent, you know, a good deal of the day trying to find out, but, you know, I'm just I'm having to work within Google's 1984 system, and I can only see what's presented to me. And I only had so much time to look. The caller, okay, let's see, where are we at? So, yeah, praise several organizations. The incident is indicative of the problems associated with Kessler's self-brand of independent journalism, which typically consists of attending local protests with a bullhorn and provocative signs, then decrying coverage by reputable news outlets. The caller stated of Kessler, "In light of his activism on the issue, we have mutually agreed to suspend our freelance relationship with him." The caller, as in the newspaper that was being previously discussed. Regarding the torchlit march, Kessler has attempted to elide the controversy by claiming in a tweet that European people have a long history of torchlit funeral processions to honor the dead. See Vikings. Nevertheless, Kessler admitted the use of torches was in some way intended to cause controversy in the press. "When they saw the torches that we did in the evening, there was a mass triggering that took place." Well, then why is he crying about the police not protecting them if he's trying to trigger people? I mean, why would you want to necessarily trigger your opposition into a fight? Wouldn't you want to just, I mean, if you're really stopping the monuments from being taken down, wouldn't the individuals charged with taking the monuments down, wouldn't those be the people that you would stop? And not a bunch of Black Lives Matter people that are just protesting to counter-protest your stupid fucking protest? I mean, let's get real here. If you actually wanted to stop those monuments from going down, you would have surrounded the monuments and did some tree-hugger shit like a hippie. You know, that's one way to go about it. There's many ways to skin that cat. But whatever this shit was, apparently you didn't get it done right if the monuments got taken down. I mean, I've been so focused into this one particular individual that I haven't had a chance to confirm the monuments were taken down. I really haven't had a chance to look too deeply into what the other news has taken place over the weekend is going on. So, I'm losing my train of thought. That's fine. I can always go back to the article, right? Okay. Kessler's newfound popularity among the far right has caused some of his former associates to distance themselves from him. Two fellow members of Unity and Security for America publicly denounced Kessler, with one stating, and this is a link, so maybe there's something beyond it, he's affiliated himself with people who are, to put it mildly, ideologically distasteful, and now he's associated with people involved with organized crime. It's turning into a rabbit hole, and I want nothing to do with that. So, who knows if that's a legitimate quote? I guess we can assume it is, but there's a link if you check this article out. It is at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com, posted for discussion. Those speaking at the Charlottesville Unite the Right event include Richard Spencer, who spoke at the first Charlottesville rally, Mike Enoch of The Right Stuff, Matthew Heimbach, and I got to see some of his videos. He's definitely a white nationalist, of the White Nationalist Traditionalist Workers' Party. He's the one that has the rotary, the white yellow flag with the black rotary and the pitchfork going through it. That's him. Anyway, Augustus Inviticus, a pagan neo-fascist who has pledged to bring about a second civil war, and Michael Hill of the League of the South. So I haven't had a chance to really look into any of those individuals very deeply, and even this gentleman, Jason Kessler, you know, I just started to scratch at the surface. But I can see the results of this event, and I can look at other countries and look at color revolutions in general and see how these events can be used. And I have to question, is this legit? You know, do they just take somebody who's a decent actor and pay him a bunch of money, pull him out of the woodwork, pay him a bunch of money? Is this gentleman a CIA operative? Does he get a big fat Federal Reserve note printed out of thin air friggin' check at the end of this where he can go retire in the Philippines or wherever else? I don't know. One can only speculate, and I imagine there'll be a lot more information as time progresses. Definitely keep your head on a swivel, keep your eyes open, your ears open, and don't get fooled. Don't get fooled again. You'd be better off to just stand off to the side than to get pulled into the BS one more time. With that said, folks, y'all enjoy the rest of your day. I'm out of here.